Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you're doing in us, Lord. It is awesome. We thank you, Father, for taking down the enemies. And Lord, there's some wonderful, wonderful news abroad. And it's just going to change the lives of many, many, many people. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be a part of the things that's fixing to happen. And we thank you for it, Father. We ask, Father, for your anointing upon everyone that wants to be a part of it, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, as we're going to walk in you, Lord. Talk like you, Lord. Act like you. And do like you, Lord. And think like you and be led by you. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, that tonight's not going to be any exception. Tonight you're going to lead us into things that we could talk about. And I thank you, Father, that revelations will come forth. Not only that, Lord, I thank you for the enemy being defeated, brought down, and then the man-child going up to be anointed for this great time ahead of the man-child's ministry. And the bride's ministry. And Lord, we just thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that you've brought us to this overcoming power that you've given us now. And it's going to be quite evident in the days ahead that signs and wonders will follow those that are out preaching and teaching the word of God. That people will come in droves. Because of the tragedies around them, they want to know what it is that we know, that the light shines upon the peoples, that they see, and they see it, the ones that look and see it, and they want a part of it. And Father, we thank you for your love and your peace upon our heart to love even our enemies, Lord. Thank you, Father, for that. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for the fire in our spirit to see this through. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God. Well, look, there's some more showed up here. Hi, Pat, Lana, Joe. Glory to God, it's good to see everybody. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Lana.
I just got off the phone with my brother Mark, and they need prayer. They found out today that his wife Lily is pregnant, and I think it's been about 3 or 4 years since the last time she got pregnant, and it turned out to be an ectopic pregnancy, so they had to surgically remove whatever was left of the failed pregnancy, basically. And so this time around, she found out she's pregnant, and she's bleeding, which is not a good sign, and they don't want to go to the doctors. And so I had a chance to talk to him and encourage him, and had a chance to pray on the phone over him and Lily. And I just wanted some agreement.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and y'all just agree with me if you could. Father God, I lift up my beloved brother Mark and his precious wife Lily to your throne of grace and this brand new baby that's forming in her womb, Father God. I come against the enemy and this attack on her body, Father God. I forbid this baby from being destroyed and rejected by her body, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command the enemy to take his hands off this pregnancy, and I command this pregnancy to go forth as normal. I command that embryo to come out of that fallopian tube and into the womb so that the pregnancy can go forward, Father God. I forbid any loss. I forbid the bleeding, Father God, and command it to cease and desist.
Yes.
I command the body to align with the word of God and for this pregnancy to bloom into full health, Father God. Whatever is wrong with her body, I command it to cease and desist. I command healing, restoration, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And whatever else is needed to be fixed, Father God, I command the angels to go forth and do it, Father God. They have no faith in the doctors. They understand that the doctors will only give them a bad report and give them a runaround, Father God. They understand that there's also not a lot of people that will side with them, Father God. But I thank you, Lord, that you love them and that you have chosen them and that you're working a great and mighty work of salvation and you're bringing them into the kingdom, Father God. So I thank you for an outpouring of grace upon their lives, a gift of faith for them to endure in this trial. And Father God, I ask you that you bring them into fellowship with like-minded believers so that they may find support and encouragement to walk through this pregnancy, Father God, and to keep their eyes on you, Father God, not on the symptoms, not on any bad reports, Father God, wherever it may come from, Father God. And I thank you for working deeply in their hearts, Father God. And I thank you that this pregnancy is set to bring forth a beautiful, healthy baby in 9 months, Father God. And I just thank you that it is done. I thank you, Father God, that the spirits of anxiety, spirits of fear, spirits of doubt and unbelief and anything else coming against them have been bound and cannot hinder them, Father God, in this time. I thank you so much for your miraculous and wonderful gift to this family. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I hook my faith up as everybody here else does and believe everything that Lana has prayed has already been done in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that this lady is going to give, our sister-in-law is going to give this baby, going to have this baby, and it's going to be a precious baby that is completely healthy. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Just tell them to keep confessing a good report, and that's what's going to happen. I guarantee you it's going to happen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Great prayer, by the way. You said some stuff in there. I didn't have no idea what you was talking about. That's not my job. My job is to believe, so I believe. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lana. I know it's done. I'm going to put her on the list. Hey, what's her name? Or is it a Russian name?
Oh, her name is Lily.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, I'd like some prayer for myself.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, I came under attack. And a trial that I've been through once before. And I think basically, there is possibly a curse that needs to be dealt with. I really, really struggle with the idea of being pregnant again. And I'm not pregnant, but I really struggle with this. And today I was sorting through pictures and came across videos of Max's birth, and it was a C-section. And I just wanted to cry. It felt traumatic. And I was just like, I'm fine, right? The baby's fine. I'm fine. This was actually a planned C-section. Why is this affecting me so negatively? And so I've been waiting on the Lord as he took me through the trial from a couple weeks ago related to the possible idea of being pregnant again. And today, watching those videos and the heaviness and just probably fear and trauma that's in me, related to anything to do with basically pregnancies. And I was thinking about when I was born with an umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. And so when I was delivered, my left side was paralyzed, and they took me to a different part of the hospital. And my mother had no idea that was all going on. And because of the prayers of my grandpa, who was a local pastor, the Lord, you see me now, I'm perfectly healthy and fine. And the Lord delivered me of that. And I remember my mom saying that when she looked at pictures of me with my new baby in the hospital, when I had Fiora Max, she said it sent shivers down her back, just recalling what it meant to go through labor again. So I say all of this, that there's something there. There's some sort of curse that I haven't been able to shake. With all three of my pregnancies and the possibility of being pregnant again, just sends me into a complete panic.
Okay. And
logically, that's not me. I love my kids. I love babies.
Yeah.
But I don't want to delete videos and pictures of my babies because I can't handle remembering the C-sections, or I can't handle the idea of being pregnant again. So I'm going to leave it at that. It's just, I want deliverance from this, whether or not I ever have another baby. It's just, it's a curse and I don't want it to be there. So
Amen. Let's pray
as the Lord leads.
Let's pray. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord, you gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, this is an enemy of Lana. Fear, you go from her right now in Jesus' name. I don't care where, what you call yourself, it's fear and you have to go in Jesus' name. Any kind of anxiety regarding that, go from her right now in the name of Jesus. Any kind of spirit that would hinder her, that would cause her to go into trauma, go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And if she is pregnant, it's going to be a great pregnancy and it's going to be a happy pregnancy. And she'll have a nice, whatever, baby when it comes in Jesus' name. I'm not going to call it what it is, but let's go. Lord, I thank you for complete deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. She be whole, be healed, and be delivered and be free right now in Jesus' name. He says, yes, it's done. It is done in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. And even when she watches the film, spirit, you stay off of her. You're not allowed anymore in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Julie.
I'm not sure if this is of the Lord or not. We just command a spirit of fear of death off of you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And also all failure to go from you as well. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're all made whole.
Yep. You're whole and healed. Go ahead, Missy.
We break the curse of C-sections off Lana in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's no longer permitted. Her next pregnancy will be normal and no C-section, because she's not under the curse, and we break that curse in Jesus' name. And fear of C-section, go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We praise you and we thank you, Father. We break spirit of trauma off Lana in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. If she has another baby, it's going to be a great and grand time for her. She's going to have a smile across her face all the way through it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Matter of fact, it's going to be one that's done at home. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Theo, get ready. Oh, my. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? Ooh, we're getting close, folks. We're getting close, getting close, getting close. All right. What else? Oh, I got a song. Y'all want to listen to a song? This song comes from, I don't know who the band is or anything, but they're pretty good. But the story behind it is they're in the square at Amsterdam. Now, how many of you know what's in Amsterdam? It's a Hellenistic place. Very evil in a lot of respects, but this is a band. Look at the crowd when you see it. I'm just going to play one song. It's all I'm going to play. It's got about an hour and something long, but I'm just going to play the one song. Uh-oh, what happened? Something happened there. Just a minute. Let me do it again. There it is.
You're muted, Michael.
I know. I said it. So, anyway, it was, it goes for about 2 hours and, it's pretty good. I had to listen to the whole thing, but it, there's a lot of good songs on it that they play. And people's emotions start getting, into it, you know, and you start seeing the, tears come down. It's just really neat. People are, experiencing God. It's awesome. Probably hadn't experienced them in years. Amen. Okay. All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? How many of you got the little thing that I sent out this afternoon? Everybody get it? Okay. Yeah, you got it, Pat. You just hadn't checked it yet. Anyway, quantum physics. What amazed me about it, and this is actually this week is the first time I've heard it. It's actually Saturday last week, and first time I've heard of it being associated with biblical terms. How many of you know that science proves the Bible? Science does prove the Bible. And that's what they're showing. In quantum physics or quantum mechanics, both, they prove the Bible in ways that are just amazing to me. I don't fully understand what quantum physics is, other than it's way over my head, but I do understand this about it. I understand that what you speak with your mouth is a cause and effect, what happens in quantum physics. Same thing with biblical faith, speaking faith, confessing faith. And they talk about vibrations. Everything around you is vibrating. And if y'all remember that experiment that Asian guy did with the strawberry plants, don't you? Where he spoke curses to one and he spoke blessings to another. That goes with everything that we do. If you curse your car, your automobile, this car is no good. Every time I get in it, something happens. Well, guess what? It's going to happen every time you get in it, as long as you do that, curse it. And if you curse your children, same thing. If you curse anything, it's going to be cursed. If you bless it, it's going to be a blessing. If you speak something into existence, you can speak things into existence. It's what they're telling us in this quantum physics thing. You can speak things into existence. I'm telling you this. If you don't like the color of your hair, you can change the color of your hair by speaking it in existence. You can speak things that have been missing back in to your body or whatever, you know. Like if you got thyroid problems, you ain't got it anymore if you start confessing it. Anything like that. That's what they're saying. They're saying it is a scientific fact that what you say matters in the real world. Everything that you say matters in the real world because of these subatomic particles around us. And I don't have any other knowledge of physics other than the little things that run around out there wanting to figure out what you want to say. And when you say it, that's what they're going to be. Does anybody else know anything about physics, quantum physics or quantum mechanics that they can enlighten me with? There was an experiment, Debbie Horton, talked about. It was in Wikipedia. It's called a Schrodinger cat effect. They put a cat in a box and you could speak to it and it would either die or live or be there or not be there, depending on the time. In other words, you could change time with your words. How many of you want to do that? I command DNA restoration in my body in Jesus' name. That is a time change. And it's going to happen. You watch what I tell you. I'm going to come up in next Saturday night looking like I did 30 years, 40 years ago. Lord of God. You too, Joe. Maybe not 40. Oh, Lord of God. But that's what they're saying. They're saying what you say matters. Just like God has been telling us in the book. What you confess with your mouth is what you're going to get. We've all learned that. We just haven't, you know, put it into practice 100%. If you start blessing things, I said, you know, it's, ow, man, that hurt. Oh, no, it didn't hurt. Thank you, Jesus. Nope, that didn't hurt me a bit. Thank you, Jesus. I barked my shins 100 in the past, not now. I don't do it no more. On that stupid hitch on the back of my truck, every time I go around it, I hit that thing. I would, used to. I don't no more because I took it out of them. Anyway, I barked my shins on that thing, and finally I got to saying, well, I'm cursing myself by saying, oh, that hurt. I start saying, I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bam, it's gone. It's gone. It doesn't bother me anymore. Just like when I got popped in the back of my neck in Arkansas last year by 5 wasps. Popped me right in the back of my neck. Boy, I opened my garage door. Bam, bam, bam. I'm running out of there and they were smacking me in the back of my neck. And I got out there and I said, thank you, Jesus. It's gone in Jesus' name. I never had a problem with it. Never had a minute. All I felt was when they hit me. Bam, bam, bam. And it hurt. But when I started thanking Jesus that it wasn't going to hurt anymore, it went away completely. Y'all remember that? I told it here. That's what he's talking. Y'all have done the same things. Y'all, every one of you have done the same thing. Have something happened and you didn't receive it and God fixed it completely. That's what he's talking about. Now it's time to start doing big stuff. You know what the big stuff is? Calling the things that are not as though they were. Calling people back if you want to. You understand what I'm saying? Calling back into the kingdom. We're fixing to see some fantastic miracles. It's gonna bring a lot of people into the kingdom because of it. And we're going to start, we have already started confessing it. And we're going to see some mighty miracles. Okay. Anybody else on quantum physics? That's my lesson for tonight. That's all the quantum stuff I can teach. I don't know a whole lot about it. I have listened a little bit more this afternoon about it. And it does. What I've read so far, it lines up with the Word of God. Write down confessing who you are or what you are or whatever you need. Your circumstances. Your family. You know, that's a straightforward faith. You can call money. Money cometh if you need it. And you've been faithful with your money. Protection cometh. Protection, I am protected by the shadow of God. Psalm 91. Lily is going to have a baby, a nice baby, pretty baby. Nothing wrong with it. It's going to be a stout boy, girl, or whatever it is. I'm not going to say because she's going to have a good one. We're going to confess it and believe it. Thank you, Jesus. And little Jesse, he is healed, delivered, and set free, coming out that hospital today. We believe it, Lord. We don't believe nothing else but that. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. What's, there was another baby. What was wrong with him? Was it Geneva's? Geneva, was it your friend? She's tending Micah right now, Micah. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Testimony, prayer request. We're going to have a, well, I'm going to say that with the recorder going. Yeah, Pat.
Michael, I'll prime the pump. I got this verse today. As it's John 6:63.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to say it almost goes on along with the quantum physics. Although I haven't read that article that you sent, so I'm going to. I printed it out. I'll read it. But it says, I guess Jesus talking to the Pharisees. I haven't read the whole thing right yet. But 6:61, he said, but Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said to them, does this stumble you? This is when Jesus was talking about eat my flesh and drink my blood. What then if you shall behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that, 6:63, it is the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. And then this is the part that I highlighted because I was thinking that the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you that believe not, etc. And I didn't have time to really ponder the thought, but it kind of came out to me that the words, Jesus' words, so he has another statement that is always kind of cut short. That's one of those statements that people grab up and they'll always say, the truth will set you free. And yes, that is a fact, the truth will set you free, but what will set you free is going back and reading the previous verses before that. Jesus said to those disciples that believed on him, I think, I'm maybe paraphrasing this, but if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And obviously, the truth will set you free is a principle of reality. But if you don't plug in the first part of that, it is the words of Jesus. And I was thinking about this, words that I've spoken to you are spirit. And I guess it was just a very simple thought that it's once a word is spoken, it's in the air, it's out there in the air. It's not like you can go down to Walmart and buy you a pound of words or, because it is something that happens that is in the spirit. It's you can't touch it, you can't feel it, you can only listen to it, and I guess that vibration, listen to those words and understand the meaning, and all of that conveys is a spiritual, untouchable, non-physical thing that happens, within us as we take it. and his words are life. So I don't know what, you know, the application or the connection with quantum, you know, physics or that sort of thing, but I know it's a connection. I know that the concept was not foreign to the Lord. You know, he was well aware of the laws that govern that process. But anyway, that was my scripture verse for today.
That's a great scripture, faith scripture. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. Everything he speaks happens. If you speak his words, it's going to happen. That's what he's talking. That's quantum. That's quantum physics. That's faith. Look at Mark 11, 23 and 24. He said, verily, verily, see, verily, I say unto you, whosoever, that's everybody, anybody that's got a mouth can do this, shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith comes to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say to you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. Believe that you have received them. That's supposed to be past tense, as you all know. Believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. You can speak to a mountain and move a mountain. That mountain, as quantum physics says, is moving. It's vibrating all the time. It's vibrating. There's everything in that thing is vibrating at all times. I remember the testimony. I believe it was Charles Capps that had this testimony. He said he had a neighbor that had a tree that he wanted to bring down because it was scattering leaves all over his yard every fall. But his neighbor liked it, and he didn't want to have anything to do with that. But you remember when Jesus told the bush to die, be uprooted? Be uprooted. He did the same thing. Charles told him, he said, go out there and tell that tree just to be uprooted. He said, it didn't happen immediately. It happened about a year or two later. But he did it. He was, every time he see that tree, he said, I command you to be uprooted and gone. He said, one day he came out there and the tree was, they had a little storm of some sort, a little bit of thing. Didn't even turn over the lawn chairs. But the tree was uprooted and down. Big tree was uprooted and down. And he was so happy that God finally did that to him. But what was interesting is it wasn't enough wind to even blow the lawn chairs around. God just took it down for him. That's what he's talking about. You keep on believing, but you have to endure in your faith to see it happen. You can move that mountain. You have to have faith for it. I believe we do. If you keep speaking it, you keep speaking it, you keep speaking. Of course, we always hear that the mountain means the circumstances around us. It could be a mountain. I believe if there's a mountain in your way, you can move it or walk through it. And that's something else going to be coming up here is people walking through walls like Jesus did. Walking on water. There's people already doing that over in, over in some part of Asia, where they go around all of those islands. Lord told him, I said, do like I did. Walk on that water, go on over there to that island. He said, I told you to go over there, so go over there. I said, okay, I guess he wants us to walk on that water. And they just started out walking across there, and the water got about knee deep, and that's as far as it went. They went to walking over there. And from that point on, they walked everywhere they went across that water. That's another thing is like that pastor in Russia I learned about years ago. He had three churches. They were 1,000 kilometers apart. And every Sunday, he'd preach in his home church. He'd get through preaching. He said, I got to go. I got to go to my next church over here. He said, God bless you. I'll see you next time. He'd walk out the door. He'd straighten his suit up, walk out the door. And the next thing you knew, he'd be walking up the church steps of the next church that he was to preach at that day, that hour, that moment right then. He'd walk out. Next thing you know, he'd see that step. He'd walk up into it, preach the word. Then that night he had to preach at the third church. And he'd tell the second church people, God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday or whenever it was. And then he'd walk out the front door. Next thing you knew, he'd see the church and he'd walk into the church. God did it supernaturally because he believed. He said, Lord, if you want me to preach in these churches, you got to get me there back because I ain't got a vehicle. Lord said, I got a vehicle for you. I'll get you there and back. And he did that for years. Did that for years. That's God. God can do it. Stuff. You just have to have, we just have to believe. I believe I'm going to come over and see Joe at some point. Him and Dirk and Paul and all of them over there. I believe that. Somebody had a dream that we was going over there. Look for it, Joe. I'm going to have to come snatch you out of trouble or something. I don't know. But I believe it's going to happen. Yeah, Pat, that's a good example. That John 6:63 is a good example of that, speaking with what the word said. That's a good one. Anybody else? John 14:14 is another one. Matthew 18:15-17. Is that right? No, Matthew 18:18. I believe it's one. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else got an example of speaking the word and it happening? Yeah, Pat.
So, I guess that obviously that if you're speaking in unity with God's word, if you're speaking the word of the Lord, that you can expect these results of harmony with those promises. And I guess I'm thinking, what I was thinking that when he said, my words are spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. And does the devil, when he speaks words, are they the opposite? They are spiritual. It is spirit, but he speaks death because he speaks contrary to God's word. I would assume. Mm-hmm. So.
But he uses his words with people who speak curses. How's he going to come against you when you have all authority? You can't do it. He can only attach his curses to people who are speaking curses. That's where witchcraft comes in.
Well, I guess what I'm I was thinking just now of the temptation when he was tempting Christ. And of course, the Lord spoke back and repeated to him, you know, it is written. But I have to go back and read those temptations though, but he was, the devil was taking certain scriptures, and when he told him to jump off of the temple or jump off of the mountain, where he was at, because the Lord give us his angels to, you know, to protect you, or obviously murdering the paraphrase of that. But he used a scripture. The Lord came back with him, came back and rebuked him basically with the truth, with another scripture. So even the devil can speak. Mm-hmm. They are so what is the, if you're looking at quantum physics and harmonization or of the vibration of life or whatever, what are we looking at when the devil is taking God's words and speaking them and repeating them? What is happening there in the physics of that?
Well, excuse me.
Sorry, I caught you eating there, huh?
Yeah, I'm eating some chocolate covered. But when the devil speaks it, he distorts the word, doesn't he? He uses it in a negative context, trying to get people. That's what he did with Adam and Eve.
So is it the motivation behind speaking those words?
Deception.
That brings it into a disharmony with God, I guess you might say? God's word? Is it the motivation behind it?
No, I think he's just trying to deceive them. With God's word. He's using it in the wrong context. That's what I think. Anybody else got a better explanation? Remember what he told Adam? I mean, he did he say that you would die? You won't die. Well, he meant it in the flesh. God meant it in the spirit. But what happened to him? When she took a bite of that thing, she lost the covering, as he did too. Adam did too. Lost the covering that they had from the spirit of God. But they knew that they wasn't naked at that time. The light of God went out of them. Then they knew they were naked. And that's when the Lord put the animal skins on them to hide them. Because the Spirit of God left them. They did die. They died spiritually. But the devil didn't tell them that's the way it was going to happen. He was deceptive. He's always a liar. He's a lying devil. And the same thing happens to people when they go against God's words, you know. Oh, I don't think God's going to do that. He's a loving God. Next thing you know, they're out there in hell somewhere, in living hell somewhere, because they went against God's word. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. That's why God's fixing to have his tribulation. The devil has deceived the churches throughout millenniums that God really didn't mean what he said in the Word of God. They'd love to just take all the epistles out of the Bible that tell who you are in Christ, because that doesn't allow any sin in your life. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be able to live in the flesh. And believe that they're going to heaven because they shook the preacher's hand and got baptized in some water, got sprinkled over what they do. And that's the deception that the devil has put in the churches. Yeah. That's Proverbs 18:21. That's a great one. And that's the reason the Lord's fixing to have tribulation, is to shake God's elect out of those deceptive religions. And most of you know what I'm talking about. They don't even believe that the Holy Spirit baptism. Can you imagine? But that's because they've been deceived by the devil. You can go ahead and sin and still go to heaven. Once saved, always saved. Give me a break. When it's all through the New Testament. There's ifs in there, conditions to your salvation all through there. That's the devil. He takes the scriptures and twists it so he can get people to follow him. That make sense? I hope it does. That's what I feel. Anybody got anything you want to add? Yeah, Julie.
What Michael just said. He always wants to, the devil just wants to twist everything. He wants to get, the devil works very hard to get people to not believe God. He creates the doubt, the uncertainty, whatever. That's just kind of how I've seen it, you know, in my own personal life. That's what the devil wants to do, is to get someone to disbelieve and not trust God.
He's a deceiver.
Yeah. His words are death. His words are death. They have their spirit. I remember David teaching that everybody's words have a spirit. It's either what are you speaking? Blessing or cursing, right?
They talk about quantum faith or quantum physics. The mechanics, quantum physics and quantum mechanics is as vibrations. And they talked about this one thing that I looked at, talked about there could be a cloud there. When they first started looking into quantum physics, they see a cloud, some microscope, whatever. I don't know what they're looking at. But anyway, and it would still be a cloud, but it was just like a cloud, you know. And then, but when they spoke and they looked at it in a certain way, it would drop down to a particle. And it would, you know, just be right there as a particle. And if you said something else, it's liable to be over here somewhere. And what it was showing was timelines. Like David was talking about the other night. If you're believing for something, you got two people believing for something, let's say, the same thing. You're believing for the same thing. And you got one that's enduring in their faith to the end. Or you got somebody else over here that's doubt and unbelief. That's two different timelines. You got one that's going to happen quicker than this one that's doubt and unbelief until they get that faith down pat. You have to believe and endure in your faith to see it happen. You can't have any doubt and unbelief between the time it happened, because all you're doing is extending that timeline out every time you come out with doubt and unbelief. And that's the way faith works, just like that. And I was amazed when we saw that Japanese with the strawberry plants. He cursed the strawberry plants, and they were sitting over dying. But he'd bless the other one. Oh, you're just so lovely, you beautiful strawberry plant. You're just making nice, juicy strawberries, and they just speaking like that to them. And they were just flourishing. And the other was over there just dying. That's how faith works. Your faith is dying when you get into doubt and unbelief. But I don't believe it's going to happen because it hadn't happened in my timeline. Well, forget your timeline. It's God's timeline that counts. He's teaching you something. He teaches us by faith. Listen, once you get this faith thing down, things will start happening a lot quicker. It will. And when everybody comes into agreement at one time and keeps on into that agreement, guess what's going to happen? We're going to see some miracles, glory to God. Whatever it is. Just like that Proverbs 18:21 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you speak death, that's the fruit you're going to see. If you speak life, that's the fruit you're going to see. And that is a natural fact. How many times have you seen people, you might even be a recipient of it, of parents that would berate you, oh, you're never going to amount to nothing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then, you know, you struggle your whole life because of it, because you never think that you're going to be anything other than what your parents told you. Or you have parents that just, you can do anything that you want. All you have to do is just apply yourself. You can do anything. That's why the Jewish people, they bless their children every morning. They go out, they bless them going out, and they bless them coming in. Now, how many big names do you see that are Jewish people? They do that. They bless their children. And that's the way we are. You know, even when they're at their worst, you know, I'll bless you, and then smack them, you know, I'll bless you, and smack them again, I'll bless you. You know, you have to do that. It's necessary. And I've watched Lana and Anna both. When the kids, you know, they need a whipping, they get a whipping, but they'll love them after that. You know, I didn't have to do this if you'd done what I told you. Now, kid, now I'm not going to tell you, you know, knock your head, you know. They don't do that. They love on them and tell them why they were whipped. That is going to make a child that's successful in the word. Go ahead, Pat. I thought you had your hand up.
Yeah, I did. I had kind of a question, and this is I guess parlays back to a lot of the teaching that we're going through now, and it's related to the factious and the critical and the judgmental and that whole scenario, because God uses it in our lives as a crucifixion aspect, you know, to bring us to our cross. So, and I'm assuming that those words, that force is anti, is opposite of God's words, you know? So, how do you take that? I mean, how do you, obviously, as one is being crucified, there's not a lot that can be done except to die. You have to go through the process by faith. So, is there a process that we go through? And I guess what I'm thinking here is like when the devil came to Jesus in the temptations, he responded by the word of God. He responded, "It is written." Is that our, I guess, process that we
absolutely
walk through that or experience that crucifixion, I guess?
Well, you confess the word of God. You confess the word of God is who he says he is. I am who God says I am. And God says you have the mind of Christ. You know, you go through those confessions. You confess what the devil has told you you are. You confess against it. I come against that in the name of Jesus, because here's what the word says. Word says, by his stripes I'm healed. And if it says by his stripes I'm healed, devil, you go. I'm healed, Lord of God. And that's what you do. Your confession mounts to a lot with God. If you say, I don't know why God's doing this to me. I don't know why. It ain't God doing it to you. It's the devil doing it to you. So all you need to do is come against him with the word of God. Here, I'll put this in this book, and I'm going to read it because it's good. These things, I said, these things affirm constantly. God is who he says he is. I am who God says I am. Going to in the epistle, Paul talks about that, who you are in Christ, all through the epistles. God can do what he says he can do, and I can do what God says I can do. God has what he says he has, and I have what God says I have. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, I am. Well, what does that mean? It means that the moment I received Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, I was born into God's royal family, and I am a son of the living God, created in his image. Remember what it says in Genesis, what is it, 3, when he talks about making, you said it the other day, Pat, talking about the creation of Adam and Eve. We're going to make man in our image. What does that mean? Our likeness, our character, everything. And he did. They were just like Jesus and the Father when they were created. They walked like him. They talked like him. They had the light like him. And it took it away from them when they sinned. But God had a plan. And he brought Jesus into the world. And he gave us the ability to get back like Adam and Eve walked on this earth before they sinned. And that's through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, glory to God. That gave us the ability to walk and talk and act like Jesus all the time. And it depends on how much you want to walk, talk, and act like Jesus. It's how much you bear fruit in him. If you like your flesh more than you like Jesus, that's what you'll do. But if you like Jesus more than you do your flesh or the world, you're going to look like Jesus. You're going to shine like a neon sign. Because that's just what Jesus said. The light that you see me, you know, he's a light. He said, you're a light too. You're a light on top. You're a lamp on top of the table. And that light is the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God in you. I would imagine. I heard this thing the other day. The guy talking about, he did a study on light. Did you know this? That our blood has light in it. But here's what he said first. He said this. He said, when the sperm and the egg come together, there is a spark of light, the scientists say. There is a spark of light at that moment that they come together. And that's the Spirit of God that goes into the blood. Woo, glory to God. And what you do with that light that you do have from the Word of God determines how much of that light you're going to have in you flowing in your blood. Because they say there is light in your blood. I don't know about all this stuff. I'm just telling you what I heard. I don't know this, but it sounds good to me. More Jesus you got, the more light you got. And I believe it's that thing that you sent, Lana. Oh, glory to God. But yeah, it's the words that we speak determines the fruit that we bear. And the closest we get to God. I heard a story from this same guy. And I think his name was Walter Butler. I think that was his name. Walter was a preacher and somewhat of an evangelist. And the Lord spoke to him one night and he said, I don't have anybody to talk to and to be friends with. And Walter spoke up, I'll be your friend. Would you be my friend? The Lord asked him, I think. He said, yes, I'll be your friend. And so Walter got to thinking about it after a while. He said, oh my goodness, where am I going to have the time? Because he was real busy as a preacher. When am I going to have the time to do this? He said, I'm not going to disappoint God. I'm going to do it. So he set his alarm for 12:45 every night. He'd wake up. He'd make him a cup of tea. And he'd go sit in his easy chair. And he had two easy chairs sitting right there in front of him. And he'd sit in his. And he'd imagine Jesus was sitting there with him and he'd just carry on a conversation with him every night for a year without fail. He would do that. And he said this about that time that he spent with the Lord. He said, that was the best time of my whole day was during that time that I spent with Jesus in there. And he said one night, this was back in the 60s. Back in the 60s, everybody left their doors open. You didn't go around locking all the doors and closing the latches and all this garbage that we have to do nowadays to keep the idiots out. But the doors, the gates, everything was open, you know, and people just didn't bother people back then. And he said he heard the front gate open to the yard and close. Then he heard somebody walking up. And then he heard the back door open up and close. And he said, in walked Jesus. In the flesh. And sat down in the easy chair. And he told him, he said, Walter, because of your faithfulness, from this moment on, you'll always see me like this. That is what God is looking for. And I'll tell you this much, if you'll do anything similar to that, it won't take a year. I guarantee you it won't take a year. I'm starting it. I'm going to give him some time. Everybody needs to give God some time. He craves the time of us with him. And because of it, you'll be blessed. Walter said, he said that time I had with him, all he'd do is just believe that Jesus was there. He couldn't see nothing. He just used his imagination. If you use your imagination, that is very, very strong. Imagination through faith, chapter 9 in the Real Good News. My goodness sakes alive. Can you imagine Jesus walking in your door and come just to see you in the flesh? Glory to God. My goodness sakes alive. Just because of his faithfulness. For that one thing, just one thing, just one thing. Come talk to me every night. Come talk to me every night. Or every day, whenever, just come talk to me. Lord, place it in all of our hearts to give God the time to just come talk to him and be his friend. I think that was one of the requirements. Just be my friend, he said. And that's what I will do. I will be his friend. Me and him buds. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you something I did today. I was out walking, and about halfway through the deal, the walk, there's a bench that I can sit on and rest. And the thought came to my mind, why don't you invite that? Because David did that the other day. He invited Jesus and the Father to walk with him down the driveway. I ain't walking down that driveway. That's like, you got to come back up that thing. it's about like that, Pat. I ain't kidding you. It's steep. Anyway, Jesus, come on, go walking with me. Would you come walking with me? And I just imagined in my mind that he was right there with me, you know, walking a little path. I'd walk through there just talking to him, talking away to him. Yeah, that's true, Pat. but I was walking along there and I was talking to him. And he I believe in my imagination, he said, why don't you pick it up a little bit, Michael? I was walking too slow for him. I laughed. I said, if you want to go faster, go ahead. You know, I'll follow you. But he laughed in my mind. He laughed. But then as I walked up the hill there a little ways, I had a little vision of God, Jesus, floating behind me. Back here. It wasn't real magnificent type of thing. It was just an outline of him in a kind of a silverish looking mist of some sort. You know, that's what and I knew it was Jesus, you know. And that's me. That was me. And if that was God, praise God, you know. But I saw him twice on the way back that way. But that's what he wants. He wants time with him. He wants that time with him. I love to pray in the spirit. You know, I can do that for a couple of hours if I have, you know, at times I can. You get in the spirit, you can do that. But he likes that, but he wants you to stop and talk and be friends with him also. And that's something we need to develop that relationship with him. It's good. We're all going to need it here in Charlotte. We're all going to need it. And the way you start that is just like Walter did with your imagination. Just imagine Jesus sitting right across from you. when you go get your tea or whatever. But I believe he'll use you mightily. All right. Anybody else? Don't you just love those kind of stories? I do. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Yeah, Anna?
Can I share a dream I had?
Sure.
It's been quite a while now. I don't know. Probably like 3 years ago. But I had this dream where, so in real life, I was going through a rough time and I had cried myself to sleep that night. And then I, you know, had this dream. And in this dream, the Lord appeared to me and he was Matthew's brother in the dream, but I never saw his face. And it wasn't any of his actual brothers. I just knew it was Matthew's brother, but I knew it was the Lord. And, that's how the Lord always appears to me. It's always, most of the time it's just some man. Sometimes it's David or sometimes it's, Matthew's brother, or it'll just be a man. I'll always be like about a 30-year-old man. I never get to see his face, but anyways. So I had this dream, and in the dream, this man was aware that I had cried myself to sleep, even though he wasn't like in the house. He lived somewhere else. And he was asking me why I was sad. And I told him, I said, but you know. And somehow I just knew that, like, it was the Lord that he knew or something. I don't know. I said, but you already know. He said, I still want you to talk about it and talk to me. And that blew my mind because I was like, I don't know. I didn't think of the Lord like having like a human relationship like that. Yeah. But it just blew my mind, you know, and he was like, I still want you to talk about it. I still want you to talk to me. And I was thinking, well, why would he care about this? Like in the dream, I was thinking, why would he care? But it was just amazing. Like when I woke up, just realizing that, you know, God meets us on that human level and he wants us to talk to him.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason he created us. He created mankind to be his friend throughout eternity. I mean, why? You know, we think, well, he's God. He don't need friend. Yeah, he does. He needs that companionship. And he wants us to love him just like he loves us. And how do we know that we love him? When we treat everybody with love. And I keep going back to Katie, the way she did her husband. Just loved him. Loved him, loved him, loved him. She'd mess up. And the Lord tell her, up. Just love him, serve him. And look what happens. He loves us so much. I think we would be astounded at the grace and mercy. You know, when we mess up and we keep messing up, we keep messing up sometimes. He says, God, I don't know what I've done. The guy said, I just repent and go on. He said, keep walking. Because he knows at some point in time, he sees the end from the beginning. I like what that guy said about the end from the beginning, the timeline of our life. He said, we're like a parade. He said, you start out here in the middle of the parade and you have, or at the beginning of the parade, and you have to wait until the whole thing goes by before you get to see everything. He said, what if you were in a helicopter up above the parade and you could see the end from the beginning? He said, that's how God sees you. He already knows that you're going to make it if you believe. And that's the way we ought to be looking at ourselves. That's what David keeps talking about. What is that? 1 Corinthians 3:18. Looking at Jesus in the mirror. That's the end of the parade. Always see yourself as Jesus walking. You see yourself walking. Woo, glory to God, me and Jesus. We're bros. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. God is a whole lot more gracious and merciful than we give him credit for being. I messed up. He's going to knock me off into, you know. No, he's not. He just wants you to repent and go on. Go ahead, Andrew.
I got a verse, since you just mentioned grace.
Okay.
It's in the first page of John. Because of his fullness, we all received. This important word here is this three-letter word here. And grace upon grace.
Where are you?
I think it's 1:16 of John.
Okay.
Because of his fullness, we all received and grace upon grace. Now we know what it says in Romans 5:1, that we, by faith, we have access unto this grace. And if it's and, so, I think that from what I've heard about this quantum stuff, that's where you get it all. You know, because we have access unto his grace by faith. And unmerited favor is given you. Like I was talking to Ben earlier today, and I said, what's the first two words of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. Who taught us that? The Son of Man and the Son of God. But if he's Jesus' Father, and he's our Father, I guess for those people who miss their earthly Father, you can never miss your heavenly Father. So, there you go. Even with that, it's a grace given to you to even talk to your Father, because by faith you believe he hears you.
Amen.
So my hope is all I want to, I've talked to him and said, you know, Lord, all I want to do is love you. All I want to do is have that love. You know, it affected me one time when I was reading the love chapter. Love never fails. I think he said it. I think I compared it to a bomb. Love's the bomb, you know, the nuclear bomb. And I think it was Matthew who laughed at that or something. And his husband loved the bomb. And so, you know how they have a sword of the spirit. Well, love never fails. And of course, the Lord will grace us this love. He graces us all the fruits of the Holy Spirit for us. And he's given you some of it to you, and we get perfected in it. We walk on a different route from everyone else. And we do wait patiently for things too in our tribulations. But when the Father is the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, things seen and unseen, and that's your Father, and we are immediately in reverence and awe and having our light of fear on all the time, our light of wisdom. We want to approach the Lord in this glory that he's already given to us in order and grace upon grace. So he's given you grace, and now we got to go to the next grace. And that's why we have to ask a lot. He's given you a gift you ask for, you seek for, and you knock for. So why not just, you got to talk to him for that, you know, and You want to seek of a closer watch too. The purity of your heart that's been given to you is a blessing from God, of which he already blessed you with. And you're going to see God, and you could even be taught how to see him. Little children learn things from their parents on how to see God. Well, they listen in on our conversations. where two are or more are there, God is there. And you want a nice cold glass of water sometimes. And you want to be with that person who could give it to you. And you want to be with the righteous man for a righteous man's reward, let alone a prophet's reward too. And you know those are the words of God. You hang around a prophet, and guess what happens? You know, you're going to know something. You know, when you have wonderful believing parents, they will show you and lead you on certain directions. It's just wonderful. But there still has to be something for you that was the same with Paul, the apostle, in Galatians chapter 1, when he separated me from my mother's womb. Everyone has to be separated from that womb to get into the matrix of the fellowship with God, in that vehicle of God. The peace train, holy rollers, take a ride on the peace train. I don't know if he knew what he was really saying there in the spirit, but if the two are made one, thus making peace. And if therefore being justified by faith, we've got peace with God, then the world doesn't know this peace. We do. And it's there. He sups with you and you sup with him. The verse is for that in the Laodicean church on a daily basis. He listens in on this conversation too. You know, sometimes I hear a person say, well, this is what they told me to believe. I had UBM, so I better do it. But who told the other guy? Who's the first to tell the first guy? And that's just me. So it's been passed on to us. There's a lot that's been passed on to us. You know, the Lord's working on me, trying to tell me, Andrew, you're not just a little kid anymore. And you know, we've all come a long way. You're not a child. A baby. It's nice to be a baby. I know you remember being a baby in the Lord and how he really took care of you at first. But don't think he's left you, because he never leaves you. I will not leave you orphan. Yeah. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we can boldly say, I will not fear what man will do unto me. But the boldly there, from what I was shown with our brothers and overseas, also has to come with a great humbleness, a great meekness. I don't know how those two collate so well myself, but it does. So praise and glory to God for the family and for fellowship, because there's increase in fellowship. And we're one body together in this fellowship. And it's the Lord ministering to us always, even when we don't think he is. You know, the other day I was in the kitchen and I was doing something down, you know, on the floor, and I had one of the doors open. Hole on the up above me, I came up and I whacked my head so long and so hard it kind of vibrated. And I went, how come it's not hurting? And I go, that's protection. And just today, you know, we made some nice chili dogs today. And I said, Ben, you want my recipe for chili? And I was going, now, where'd I put that recipe? You know, and I looked in, I had it over here. Man, and then I just there sitting by the table, and I said, I'm going to have to start to pray for this. Where the, and then he told me right away before I started praying that it was on the chair over there under the pillow. And I went, oh, there it is. And so that's pretty neat what God can do. You know, it's really a good thing when he can be proactive with us to give it before we even ask for it. He can read our minds. And that should make your light in your soul for the fear of the Lord go a little brighter. But they all go brighter at once, you know. All seven lights go brighter in that menorah candle that we all have inside of us. And you know what? There's a corporate body menorah candle. And it's made up of all of us. And it's going to shine for UVM and for any other ministry that's like-minded with the Lord, that knows how to love him in heart, soul, strength, and mind. Because it goes and says it's his fullness that we've received, past tense, and grace upon grace. That's the numeric one. And that's an important word. I almost have to go look it up in the dictionary. Praise God. Glory to God. But you know, I need that end defined to me by the Lord. Because I think it is a progressive maturing. Glory to God.
Amen. Ben, you must have got full. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We had red crispy squares too. I didn't know how much butter to put in, so I just put a whole block of butter in there, and boy, are they ever good.
Oh, my. That's great. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to share this because I was really convicted yesterday, Michael, when you were talking about this, about the same guy that sat with Jesus. And
yeah.
And I was thinking about that and thought, you know, maybe just me, maybe a lot of us think this way, but we tend to think about the churches out there. They're so busy with things they do, and they don't, you know, and their doctrines, they don't really know Jesus. They don't have a personal time with Jesus. And I was so convicted. I was really convicted, even more so tonight, since you're talking more about it, that, I mean, I stay busy listening to, truth, good things, a lot of audios, right? A lot of audios. We have meetings and with y'all, you know, meetings, get together and walks with people and just listening to more audios. It's like staying busy this way, but it's, I sense God is, and if anyone else feels this way, but I sense that for me, this guy was really saying, I felt a really grieving heart in him that, yeah, this is all good things, but when are you going to spend real time with me? When are you really going to let me be a friend to you? And when are you going to want me to hear your heart? You know, and instead of just you always, you're hearing truth, but it's busyness. And I'm doing the same thing in a way, that that I'm in a way thinking that others do, the religious, you know, ones and to churches and all, and so busy doing things for God, but not really knowing God, knowing the truth of his word. And here we know the truth of his word. We're taking it all the time, but not having that real personal, close time with the Lord. And there's not much time left. There's just not much time left. And I know I really need to develop that, and I want to do that. And I've just been really convicted about it, about my own heart, thinking that being in a way self-righteous. I'm here, and I'm with all this truth, and I'm taking it in, and I'm listening to it, and I'm writing notes, and notebook after notebook, and like, but how much do I really sit with Jesus? I make some times to pray. I make my prayer times, but not what he really wants. So I've just been really convicted about that. So I just wanted to pray about that. And, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us all to check our hearts, Lord God. And I know we do have busy things. Moms are busy with children, and men are busy at work, and women are busy at work, Lord. And we have busy things to do, Lord. But God, that's not, that's no reason to not set a time that we can for you to sit down with you, Lord. Lord, I just want to, I pray you will help me to do this, Lord. I want you to hear my voice. I want you to hear me speak to you, Lord. And I want to know that you're speaking back to me, and hear you even speaking back to me, Lord. And know that I am really drawing nigh unto you, not in a religious, spiritual way, but I am truly, really personally drawing nigh unto you, Lord. And I just pray you help us, each one of us, to make that effort, Lord God. And, you're such a merciful God, Lord. You know our days, Lord, and you know when we try our best to do that with you, God. And I know that you will bless those times together too with you, Lord God, and you will shine your mercy upon us and your grace, Lord, and you just still love us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to receive a conviction, to realize that all the good things, the truth that we take in is not enough. It's not enough for you. And it's really not enough for us, Lord. We need a real relationship and a close relationship with you, and really sit down and talk to you, Lord. And not just we have this great, great thing happen when you walk in our room physically, Lord, but just because it's what you want, Lord. And we want that too. We know we need that. And I thank you for your grace and mercy to help me do this, Lord. And anyone else, Lord, who feels that they're really chipping you of time in their lives, Lord, and being a real friend to you. And thank you, Lord, for ministering this to us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord. I thank you for that prayer, Father, and I receive it too. Lord, just place it in our heart. Place it in our heart to not want to disappoint you, that we would have these times with you, Lord. All of us, you know, we say this, we say that, but Lord, place it in our hearts to do. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Father, for Debbie's prayer. And I believe it. I receive it. And Lord, place it in our hearts to do it now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory be to God.
You use the right verse, disappoint him. Not so grieved, but disappointed. Mm-hmm. I sense a disappointment. Yeah.
So. He didn't want to disappoint him. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to disappoint him. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I think we'll hear some testimonies about, you know, God sharing with you, Lord Jesus sharing with you. That'd be awesome. You know, I keep thinking about Jesus' life while he was here on earth. And there would be multitudes of people out there that he probably wanted to minister to. But he had a more important thing to do. And he just turned around and walked up the hill and go pray and leave that bunch of people out there. He knew what was important, and that was to have communion with the Father. That was his number one priority, was to stay in tune with the Lord, with the Father. I don't do anything unless my Father tells me. I don't do anything unless Jesus tells me. Woo! I believe we're going to see some fruit here. Glory to God. We love you, Lord. We do. We love you. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit and your angels will keep us, to keep these appointments with you every day. In Jesus' name, Lord. Sometimes we can't set a time, but Lord, if we just make time during those days to sacrifice our time for you, Lord, I know we're going to be blessed. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Yeah, that Walter said it was the best time of the day for him. How many of them going to set it at 12:45? I ain't doing it at 12:45. I'm going to try to find a little bit better time. I believe I can do it early. I'm an early morning guy anyway. I'm not a late night guy. I'm an early morning guy. But here in the last 10, 12 years, it's been a night and my night guy and a morning guy a lot of times. Go to bed late and get up early. I'll tell you this, David has been, he's been going without a whole lot of sleep here lately. And he is not bothering him. God has given him supernatural energy and supernatural strength to go through this stuff. Don't miss tomorrow night. Gonna be good. Got some good news. Hopefully some real good news. We'll see. All right. Anybody? Yeah, Pat.
So I've been sensing the same thing that Debbie spoke about there, and how it kind of came off to me is that I lock in on all the meetings and all the, podcasts and messages, et cetera, and track with a lot of that. And in my, it's like when I sit down in the morning, and first thing I do is throw up my computer and start to read the word. But it's like I'm searching for a truth, I guess you might say, or searching for a solution to my problems or whatever it would be. Instead of that, just talking with the Lord. And Debbie put it, very well.
Yeah.
And my prayer is the same thing. I have to agree with that 100%. I know I had an experience way back, and I've shared it on here before, but it was with a time with the Lord where he simply pulled me out of the, and I say perspective wise, pulled me out of the religious, reading 10 chapters a day type thing. He just became very super present and real in my life. And that's the only way I can say it. And through that process of time, we established just a communication, as it was, as friends, you know. It was talking about things and events that would happen, and I would talk about it. We would talk about anything, and it took the stiffness of religious prayer closet type of concept completely out. And it was in that time of a very close fellowship that in that experience that he also I came to a time when he told me that he was going to pull back his presence from me. And again, at that time, I was going through a process of time where I would talk with him and we'd talk about a certain scripture or talk about something. And then I would go out and I would do it, or I would fail at it or whatever. And we'd talk about it all the way through it. And there was just this wonderful closeness of his presence and fellowship. But when he started to withdraw his, I'm going to say, my sense of being able to sense his presence. And it stretched into a longer and longer process of time. And over a period of time, I realized the reasoning behind that and the things that I had to learn and the things that I had to learn to hold on to, his word, the faith in his word. And because of that, he took me through many experiences and many things that helped me to grow. And I think it was based in the concept of, it's very easy, let me just say this, it's very easy not to sin when you're sitting on the Lord's lap and he's right here in the room with you type of thing. But when you don't sense his presence, then the strength of sin or the strength of the flesh becomes a little stronger, and now the battle begins, and you can see it. It's not a problem if you're sitting right here, right next to Jesus. But when you don't sense him there, and that kind of drifts away, and you feel almost like you're on your own, and that sort of thing, then you have to learn to battle those things, and then you become aware of things that you know, that the inner workings of iniquity and that whole old man concept really comes alive, and you become more aware of that, you know. So I understand that, and I understand the lesson. And I don't mind saying that, even though I understand the benefit of that concept, I'm kind of ready for it to be over. The thing is, you know, I don't know how to get back there. And I want to be in, you know, sense his presence, like I used to, I'm going to say, just leave it at that. And again, I see the benefit of going through the struggles and going through, you know, through the process without a sense of his presence. But, I guess I yearn to be back there again. And so what Debbie is talking about, I can relate to. And so, Father, I express my heart as well, the very same thing. I thank you for all of the things that you've taught me, that you've led me through many struggles and brought me into many victories in your word. Lord, I know that there are more there that has to be overcome. As I suspect in all of us, there's more there. But Lord, I just yearn for being in your presence and being close to you, talking with you, walking with you through these through this life, and Lord, and just the desire to be used by you in touching other people's lives, Lord. And so, but I just ask for a sense of that, your presence again, and to restore that and rebuild that, and just to open myself up and cooperate with you in the fullest extent that you can place within me. And I thank you for that, Lord. So I just praise you for hearing our prayers and hearing our heart and hearing our desire. And Lord, we love you. And we just ask you to open up our eyes and just to open up our sense of our awareness of your presence, for you have not left us nor forsaken us, but you have do all things well. All things well. And I thank you for being here within us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, I agree. Go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking it's the same as what Debbie was talking about, but prayer, she prayed with bad prayers for me as well. I was just thinking yesterday, well, let me, I'm listening to David's study, Bearing Fruit, Man-Child Ministry. And David was talking about in Haggai, building your own house, but my house is left desolate. My house is not being built. You're building your own house, but my house is not being built. And I was thinking the same thing about myself, as I spend a lot of time reading, listening, spend time with the Lord, but I need more personal time, more just sitting and relax and listen to the Lord, and not just putting the word in my heart and pull myself up with word. I need more personal, more understanding, more listening. Let's put it this way, more listening and less talk. That's all I want to relate. Thank you very much. Thanks, Debbie, for that prayer as well.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Yeah, you can go ahead and tell what you want to tell Jesus, but then I heard a guy say, just shut up and let him talk too. You know, and allow him to tell you what he wants you to hear. You get still and you can hear it.
Just want to add something as well. Just after that, so I was praying up to the Lord about this, and he gave me a vision of, I was using a drill, but it's a very long drill, but very thin one. And in the vision, I think about, oh, but it's easy to break if I'm not careful. But then I also think if Jesus is guiding it, it won't break. And that's what makes me think of all this, relationship, okay. Just sitting and listening.
Yeah. Amen. A lot of times we like to do all the talking, don't we? Yeah. All right. Anyone else? What you making, Anna? A hat?
Life's a hat now.
Oh.
He wants a deer hat.
Or does
he? Help me, Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
The hat's almost done. It's the antlers that it's going to be tricky. So thank you, Lord, for helping me.
Amen. Amen. Did you make that hat that Obadiah's got? Buffalo hat?
Yeah, I still need to put eyes on it. And a beard. He wants a beard. He wants little tassels hanging down.
Oh, my. Them boys are precious. Amen. Anybody else? Lord, I just pray for all of our children. I thank you, Father, for every one of them. And I praise you, Father, that they are a blessing to everybody that gets around them in the name of Jesus. And Mama is not stressed out and that she's in peace in her heart. She has joy in her heart. And the boys and girls are obedient and do everything they ask. They are asked without griping. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that. With the board. Yeah, go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to comment really quickly about what the Lord has been doing. For a long time, really. But he has really sunk it into me. You know how it is. He's showing you, and then he just peels it back, and you're like, oh, wow. But he has really been sinking it into me how much the peace, love, joy, and just overall atmosphere of my home in this filled with peace, love, and joy and all those good things start with the mamas. They really, really do. And then everything else falls into place. If your boy, you know, if you're working hard for your kids to be living by the word, to be knowing the word, to be walking after Christ, all of those things will fall into place. And so much more when mama is in the right place. And the Lord's been doing a big work of that understanding and application in my own life. So thank you, Lord, for keeping us mamas in line. I give them all the glory.
Amen. Yes, indeed. That is awesome to watch too. Cause you see them when they come out, they're just a bunch of heathens when they come out, you know, screaming and hollering, doing that kind. And then mama has to jump in there and she calms things down. And then after a while, they stay calm. And if they get out of line, daddy's over there to thump them. You know, or mama's over there with the paddle. Yeah, it's been a joy to watch these children come up. Most of you know, it doesn't take long for them to grow up either, does it? And be gone. Well, Father God, I just thank you for tonight. It's been an awesome time, and we've talked about some things that were very important to you and to us. And Lord, I thank you for placing it in our heart to follow through with everything in Jesus' name. And Father, be with us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us. And we praise the Father. We'll see you during our personal time with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks. God bless you.